Ryder here. Welcome to Pegging Paradise podcast number 220 on October 9th, 2018. Changing this world one ass at a time. If you'd like to support my efforts to deconstruct the myths and misconceptions around pegging and offer accurate information to all who seek it, head on over to Patreon and become a patron of my work. All patrons have access to the podcast a day early, as well as a 24/7 chat channel full of pegging practitioners from all over the world. Rewards for the various levels of support include written and audio erotica to excite and inspire. Go to patreon.com/rubyrider, or you can click the support my work button on the right-hand side of my website. Another way to support my work is through EnticeMe.com, the little black dress of pleasure products. EnticeMe offers a very carefully curated selection of luxury, body-safe, and non-toxic toys for your personal enjoyment. Just go to EnticeMe.com, #RubyRider, and for 15% off of your entire purchase, use the coupon code RIDER, that's RYDER. If you'd like assistance figuring out which pegging equipment is the best choice for you, I do offer free equipment phone consultations for customers of EnticeMe. You'll be supporting my efforts to change hearts and minds about pegging. So hey, let's do a patron update.
Yes.
So there is a domino effect happening here. A couple of weeks ago, Patrick wrote a lovely letter in about how much fun he and his wife were having pegging, and he increased his pledge from $5 to $20. Inspired by that, I'm assuming, last week TJ increased his pledge from $3 to $5. And this week, inspired by the former two gentlemen, I'm assuming, Mark increased his pledge from $5 to $10 a month. Thank you so much. And Ray is now a new patron at $5 a month as well. Gentlemen, thank you so much for your support and your generosity. It means a lot to me. Let's jump into your letters. So the first thing I have is another suggestion of support for the guy who was going through heartbreak. Hi, Ruby. I've been listening to podcast 219 in my knickers while making a 7-foot-tall papier-mâché lighthouse in front of the kitchen window. He doesn't explain this. And I heard you read out a letter from a guy needing support when his submissive relationship went tits up. There's a wonderful community here over at the Safe Words Club. And then there's a link, which I'll put in the linkorama. It's thesafewordsclub.com. Run by the amazing couple, Sub Missy and His Lordship, the group is a mix of subs and doms, all there to support each other, discuss the rights and wrongs of a submissive, dominant relationship, and generally make people feel normal. There are regular online munches in mixed dom-only and sub-only rooms. Your guy may find some of the help and support he needs there. Well, thank you so much for sending that in. That was an awesome thing to do. And I wanted to read it on the podcast in case there's anyone else out there that feels like this might be a good fit for them. We can all use a little bit more support. And sometimes when we really need it, it's hard to figure out where to get that support. So if anybody listening thinks they might be a good fit for the Safe Words Club, then go check it out. And like I say, I'll put that link in the linkorama. Thank you for sending this in. So another thing that follows along after the last podcast, remember in the last podcast the guy wrote in about the toxic toy that he got from Love Honey? Well, coincidentally, I just got a letter from Love Honey. It certainly wasn't about the toy, because they, of course, have no idea that I talked about that or that my listener wrote in and complained about the toy. But what they were writing for is for me potentially to do some reviews of some of their toys. So I'm just going to read you the whole letter because it's kind of interesting to get a bit of insight into what I do, who writes me, what they want, what they offer, and how they talk to me. Dear Ruby, we wanted to get in touch as I've recently been doing some research into sex-positive bloggers and influencers in the U.S., and your site and podcasts seemed really relevant to what we're trying to achieve for Love Honey in the U.S. I hope you don't mind me approaching you like this, and of course, if you'd rather not hear from Love Honey, please do let me know, and I'll ensure you're removed from our database going forward. To give you a bit of background, Love Honey launched in the UK 16 years ago as the first business to sell sex toys online. We opened in the US a few years ago and this summer have opened our first fully owned warehouse in Atlanta, which is a huge milestone for us. Now we're really keen to ramp up brand awareness of Love Honey across the whole continent and get Google to recognize the importance of lovehoney.com. The best way for us to do that is to get links back to our site from influential blogs and sites such as yours. However, paying for links is against Google's terms, and therefore, we cannot engage in this activity. Therefore, we were wondering if you'd be interested in reviewing any Love Honey toys of your choosing and including a link back to our site in the review. Obviously, we see that you're going to be interested in pegging toys and accessories and thought you might be interested in looking at something from this range. And then there's a link to their section called Strap-on Sex Toys. He goes on to say, I'm aware that a podcaster and influencer such as you with a large following is usually paid, so we really hope you don't take offense at this approach, but would love a chance to find a way to work with you so we can both benefit. But unfortunately, at this stage, that cannot include any payment. We are also open to any suggestions you may have of ways we could work together. So if this isn't an option you'd consider, we'd love to hear your thoughts. Ultimately, we are really keen to work with you in any way. If you're amenable to future approaches, we can pass your details on to our PR team in the US, who will be in touch with news and information about the latest new products and stories launching in the US. So maybe something will spark for us to be able to work together. Thanks, and it's signed by Tom Johnson. So, yes, Tom Johnson. So, the reason I wanted to read this to you partly is because... Oh, yes. The life of a writer and a podcaster. It's like, oh, we'd love for you to do this, but we can't pay you. Oh, and we'd love for you to do that, but we can't pay you. So anyway, I went over to their website because I actually hadn't looked at the Love Honey website for some time. And I've never really explored it a lot, mostly because I'm pretty concentrated on stores that are in the U.S. I've been asked several times over the years if I can recommend a good place to buy things in the U.K., and there are several that I've recommended, and I'm only familiar with Love Honey from that perspective. So I explored the website a little bit more, and I was kind of appalled at what I found. It's, you know... Love Honey seems to be basically the equivalent of Adam and Eve, you know, that it's kind of like that. It's like they've got the lower echelon of sex toys. They have a few decent ones in there, a few, but not very many at all, because when I looked through all of the different toys in that category, I honestly couldn't really find a one that I was interested in reviewing, and the few that they had that were really good quality, I already had. So, and I was already familiar with. So, yeah, I was a little blown away. They're pretty much on par with Adam and Eve. They're pretty bad. So I thought I'd read that to you. Just the coincidence of it kind of cracks me up. And I'm sure at this point in time, you're all wondering, and so what did you write back? So let me read you my letter that I wrote them in response. Hello, Tom. Thanks for your interest. You are basically asking me to work for free reviewing toys that are, with very few exceptions, horrible quality. I currently have a business relationship with EnticeMe.com. They screen all their toys with very strict, non-toxic, body-safe standards. They also educate their customers about bad and substandard ingredients in toys and lube and why those ingredients should be avoided. I am also working hard to educate people to be savvy sex toy consumers. I will not recommend any toys to my listeners or readers that are toxic or of questionable material, because we, parentheses, sex educators, all know you can't trust the labels. I am frankly appalled to see that you actually sell toys that contain phthalates without any obvious education for your customers as to the toxicity of those toys. Phthalates have been banned in children's toys and pet toys, and you don't seem to have any moral objection to selling them to your customers, who are putting them in mucous membrane areas of the body where those toxins are going to be absorbed. Your company lacks integrity in this regard. I advise my listeners and readers to support companies who make a point of caring about their customers. If a company sells toxic toys, do you really want to support them? Do they care about you, or are they just trying to turn a profit? And can you really trust the labels on their products? No, thank you. More information, and then I put a link to a really good, all-over, real deep dive view on toxic toys, which is by Dangerous Lily. She's kind of the one who really jumped in there and pursued it. And she has even a list of blacklisted companies, and some of the people on that list are going to surprise you. But sometimes her blacklisting is because the people are racist, or they treat bloggers like shit, or stuff like that. So read it with a grain of salt, but I'm going to put that in the Linkorama as well, because she has a ton of good information there, and there's links that go everywhere, everywhere. In other words, you read an article, and there's like three links in there about other things that she's written, and it's all about toxic toys. So anyway, yes, that was my letter back to Mr. Tom Johnson. And no, I won't be doing any reviews for Love Honey. And I would suggest that any of you people who need to buy over across the pond there, that maybe you don't give them business unless that's the only place you can find it. And you know it's a company you can trust. For example, I do believe I saw that they sell some Tantus products and they sell some Sport Sheets products. Those should probably be fine because those are two companies I know and trust. But there's a whole lot of crap in there. A lot of crap. So there you go. What a coincidence. Toxic toys and Love Honey. There's the story. All right, let's move on from the toxic toys. Here's the next letter. Hi, Ruby. Love your podcasts and the work you do. I had a plug get sucked up inside me once. Thankfully, I was able to get it out. Ever since then, I've attached a small cord around the plugs. They are made of cotton, which isn't sanitary and more so uncomfortable. I was wondering if you had any suggestions for what I could attach to a plug. Regards, Don. Don, what an interesting question. I do know that there are people out there who love big diameter play. Whether it's self-play or with a partner doesn't make any difference. Maybe you're into fisting or something like that. And many times when you are into bigger toy play, your ass can accommodate and open up to something fairly easily, and it does make it more of a possibility that a plug, even a anal safe plug with a flared base, can get sucked up inside you because you're used to taking really big diameter toys. It's also a possibility that you just have a really, really relaxed sphincter and it just totally relaxes when you have play. So that's also a possibility of why it might get sucked up in there, because I just wanted to explain to my listeners why this could actually happen, the reasons that it could happen. So what can I think of to tie onto it to make sure I could get it out? Well, one of the first things that come to mind are the silicone O-rings, partly because silicone is stretchy and it is also sanitizable, so to speak. It is something you can absolutely wipe down with alcohol and you're good to go. And depending on how the base of the butt plug is shaped, depends on how you might use it. So, for example, if you get a set of the silicone O-rings, Tantus makes a set of them, the interchangeable O-rings for if you have that leather harness that Aslan Leather makes or any harness that has interchangeable O-rings, what you could do is loop that around the end of the plug and then take the remainder of the loop. So you could use like the biggest O-ring that comes in that set. And what you could do with the rest of it that's not around the base of the plug is basically tie a knot in it and snug it up against the bottom. And then if you wanted to, you could take the next one down in size and do like a half hitch on it. Attach it to the end of the first one so that it makes it longer, so that there's no question that it's going to go too far in there and beyond the tail of that first O-ring. And what I mean is you're going to take the second one and you're going to loop it through and pull it tight so that it is attached to the first one. That would be my solution because, I think that'll be a little bit comfortable because it is silicone. I don't know if it will be a little too thick to do the job without any discomfort. And if that's the case, then it is uncomfortable. The other thing I might suggest, just get like a 100-pound fishing line. Why not? That probably won't be uncomfortable, and it certainly isn't going to break, right? Because they've got 100-pound fishing line, and you could use that. So that's another suggestion that I have. Good on you for making sure that another plug doesn't get lost and having a plan in place that you use every time to ensure that that is the case. Enjoy your butt plugs, Don. Thanks for the question. Okay, this is something I found on Reddit that I wanted to read you guys. Wife and I finally had our first session, and holy crap, I have died and gone to whichever deity-specific version of paradise you subscribe to. My experience was less like the manly grunts and more like that clip of Jenny Flowers. For those who are not familiar with it or do not care to view such things, Jenny spent most of the clip with eyes as big as dinner plates, mouth agape, and being in awe of what was happening. Obviously, I have the most awesome woman in the universe. Parentheses, sorry, y'all. None of my fears came to fruition. Anxiety subsided very quickly. Everything was as fluid as one could possibly expect a first-time outing. I think the only thing we really have to work on is positioning and maybe toy selection. The evening went so well that I lacked the vocabulary to describe how indescribably awesome it was, and I have zero complaints, except, apparently, this was a much more intimate, personal, deeply emotional experience than I anticipated. This was not just pleasurable, although it was indescribably that. Experience left me almost catatonic and basically mumbling, "Oh my God," and "What the fuck," repeatedly and in no particular order. That's fine. It really was mind-blowing. What I did not anticipate was the embarrassingly emotional response that happened a couple of times. I debated using a throwaway account because I'm not even sure I want this confession on my alt account, but a couple of times during the very extended afterglow, I burst into a few seconds of tears. I like to think that I'm a fairly sensitive guy, not caveman-esque, but those couple of outbursts were pretty unsettling. Has this happened to anyone else? Any idea what it is? I was obviously not sad in any way, shape, or form. I just really don't know what that was about. So, when I found this, I responded and basically said, "Hey, yay, so glad that you had the courage and that you posted this because this needs to be talked about more." And rather than tell you exactly what my response was, the reason I wanted to read it on the podcast is because this is something I teach in every single class I teach. Every single webinar, every single pegging class, people get to know that this is a possibility, is that there can be an emotional reaction to prostate stimulation. So here's the deal. Prostates and G-spots are really, really similar. Really similar. In so many ways that it would blow your mind. So if I have a big classroom full of people and I say, "How many women in the room have had an emotional reaction to G-spot stimulation?" Usually about a third to half of the women in the room will raise their hand. So I am one of those people that could raise my hand. I had a boyfriend, he was a geek, he researched online, and he brought the skills to bed, and he pretty much introduced me to my G-spot because I had kind of searched for it and wasn't really impressed, but he studied the YouTube videos, and he was doing this wonderful G-spot thing to me, when all of a sudden, this is exactly what happened to me. I burst into tears. So he saw what was happening. He stopped what he was doing. He came up to the top of the bed and took me into his arms and said, "Just let it out, honey," and wrapped himself around me. And I felt very safe, so I did cry for a little bit. And when I stopped, he said, "So what was that?" We both kind of laughed. And I said, "I don't know." It didn't dissuade us from exploring further. The second time he did some G-spot stimulation, it was less of an emotional reaction. And the third time, he actually made me squirt. So I went looking for information. What I found was a book called Female Ejaculation in the G-Spot, written by Deborah Sundahl. Her last name is spelled Sundahl. In that book, she talks about the G-Spot giving an emotional reaction, and it's not unusual for that to happen, especially to women in their 50s. I'm pretty sure I remember that correctly. And I was absolutely in my 50s at the time. So there you go. And I started talking about this with other women. So, okay, flash forward to my passion and my obsession with prostate stimulation and pegging and all these wonderful things. Well, it turns out that this is one more similarity that the G-spot and the prostate have in common, is this emotional response. Certainly doesn't happen with everyone, just like it doesn't happen with all women for the G-spot either. But when I teach a big class and I talk about this, because I do talk about it with every class, a couple of guys will usually come up to me afterwards and sort of clandestinely, you know, speak to the, you know, out of the corner of their mouth and say, "Thank you for talking about the emotional part," which is really sweet. This is why I talk about it, because I know that for myself in that moment, oh my God, I felt so vulnerable, so kind of blindsided, like it sounds like this guy who posted on Reddit felt that way too. Kind of blindsided by all the emotion, had no idea it was happening, has no idea where it was coming from. And how wonderful that he handled it so well. So whenever I teach a class, I'm bringing this out to the podcast. I'm pretty sure I've talked about this before because I've done so many podcasts, but you never know. Anyway, I admonish all the givers to handle it, if it does happen, to handle it as well as that ex-boyfriend handled it with me. You don't have to ask a zillion questions or freak out or go, "Oh my God, what did I do?" blah, blah, blah. Just hold space. Just let it all out, honey, and just hold them. You know, just hold space for those emotions. It's really okay. And for you receivers, if this happens to you and you become really emotional, it's really okay. It's totally okay. This is just something that happens. There's all kinds of theories why, who really knows. Could be that your body stores trauma. It could be that you're being touched on a deep core level. Could be just that it's so incredibly deep and intimate. Who knows? But because I've told you now, if you expect it, it's not going to blindside you, whether you are the giver or the receiver. So there you go. That's why I wanted to read this guy's letter. And I really try and talk about this a lot because this is something nobody talks about. And part of the reason they don't talk about it, I'm sure, and part of the reason that this guy felt so embarrassed about it is because tears and men are not supposed to go together. Any sign of weakness from a male in our society is forbidden, you know, much less tears, goodness sakes. They hold those tears back all the time, all the time, all the time. And I am making sweeping generalizations here, but generalizations happen for a reason. That's what our society demands of most males. So if you find yourself in a pegging situation and all of a sudden these tears come up, you're going to feel even more uncomfortable and embarrassed and kind of freaked out about it, potentially, if you are a receiver, than if you were a female who had G-spot stimulation, because we, as females, are allowed emotional expression much, much more in this society than men are. So there you go. I just wanted to read that, let you guys know, remind you, if I've talked about it before, I don't have a master list of what I've talked about before. It just felt like time. And this was an awesome expression of how perfect it went for the first time and how surprised and blindsided this guy was by the emotions. So there you go. All right, let's move on to the next letter. Me and my sub love to have fun with a strap-on, but he often complains about the pain afterwards. Should we use more lube or just try to find smaller toys? So this didn't have a whole lot of information connected to it. And this, here are some things to think about. Here are some questions. First, how long do you peg him for? How much warm-up or foreplay do you typically do? What does your toy look like? What lube are you using? Where does he feel the pain? Because there's all kinds of possibilities here. First of all, what surface or shape does the toy have? Because if it's like a matte surface, or if the toy has ridges or bumps, it's possible that those factors are irritating his rectal sphincter, and after a while of getting pegged, that's why it is sore afterwards. If that's the case, then switching to a slick surface silicone toy that doesn't have the ridges and doesn't have a pronounced head on it might help. And also, if you pull the toy in and out a lot and the toy has a pronounced head, that can be what's causing the soreness afterwards. What's another possibility? He's allergic to something in the lube. This can manifest as soreness over time while getting pegged. It can feel like a burning, but it doesn't necessarily have to manifest as that. And of course, I recommend Sliquid Silk for pegging, which is a hybrid lube, 12% silicone and the rest is water-based. Silicone gives it a longer-lasting component, and it's fairly thick and cushiony. And I own a wide variety of quality silicone toys and has never harmed a single one. So let's talk about some of the other possibilities. Not enough warm-up. Different people require different amounts of time to open up for anal sex, so making sure that you have done sufficient foreplay with gradually encouraging his ass to open with fingers and lube and small toys first, instead of just shoving it right in there, can be critical in avoiding pain. Because if it hurts, there's something wrong. It doesn't have to hurt. And as your sub, you can actually have him do some self-play in preparation for his pegging, either regularly to make sure that his ass can accept something that size to get used to it, or before you peg him. In other words, you can kind of make him do your own foreplay if you want, if that dominant submissive dynamic works that way for you and you don't want to do it yourself. So it's possible that you are going at it when you peg him a little too enthusiastically and maybe too soon. This can be built up to if you start more gently, but there are some asses that just need more measured approach leading up to a good pounding, and then there's some asses that simply can't take an aggressive pounding. If you're doing other BDSM activities at the same time as pegging, like spanking or CBT or nipple torture or other things that have an element of pain, another possibility is he may be tensing up to accept the pain you are delivering while you are pegging him, and that could be contributing to the cause of pain afterwards as well. One last possibility, the toy you have is too long. So once again, you didn't really say where he hurts. So he could hurt a bunch of different places. He could kind of be sore inside deep because you've hammered against that back sphincter, or the sphincter itself could be sore. The rectal sphincter could be sore right where the opening is. So if you have a toy that's too long and you're pegging him to the hilt, it could be pushing against the inner sphincter that separates the rectal canal from the colon. While longer toys can carefully be pushed through that sphincter, aggressive deep pegging can cause pain. And the last one is the toy you have is too girthy. It's possible he just needs a thinner toy, and that might make it easier to relax. So lots and lots of possibilities there, but this is how I diagnose what is wrong. So when you send me letters and questions and things and you have an issue that's happening, just try and give me as much information as possible because that really helps. Hopefully one of those makes it all go away and he can take a nice hard pounding for as long as you desire and not be sore afterwards. Okay, here's my next letter. Hello, everyone. I recently began listening to podcasts as my wife and I have discovered prostate play. She has always enjoyed playing with fingers, but now we're moving to toys. I am a manly man who is the dominant person in the home and dominant parent as well. I've known about pegging for years. I have also stuck this into a deep, dark part of my brain never to come out. After my first marriage, where we had tried it, she outed me to many of my friends, and that was a humiliating thing, that I was able to turn around and required little damage control. From then, I only tried to tell one other girlfriend, and that too was a disaster. From that, I went back to secretly playing with guys on the side to fulfill my sexual desires. That is where I learned I enjoyed things up my rear after having an unintentional orgasm while being done doggy. It shocked me. but I now know it was an anal orgasm. I was never attracted to more than the penis and its uses. As a pleaser, I did learn to give good head, but that just came with it. For me, finding a woman that could please me anally was always the thing that I wanted. So that brings me to years later, where I met my now wife. Within the first 2 months, she was playing with my ass, and I never asked for it, but made sure she knew how much I enjoyed it. As you clearly state on your podcasts, make sure your side of the street is clean. That is something I have always strived to do, just hoping that the time will come to introduce ass play. Needless to say, I didn't have to try hard, ha ha. So we are happily married and currently working to achieve the elusive prostate orgasm. Today, our Aneros device arrived in the mail, and I know she is wet just thinking about it. Thank you so much for all of the information in your podcasts. I can't wait to introduce her to podcast number 112. Oh, and soon I'll be walking around with a remote-controlled butt plug-in for her to control wherever she pleases while we are on a date. And then he writes, for statistical purposes, 34, white, 6'5", 210 pounds. I prefer anal from a woman. I enjoy being dominated and role reversal. You can use anything I've said on your podcast. Thank you, sir. This was posted in my forum. And the title of this post was called Married and Openly Exploring. I am so glad that you found your way through these first bad experiences to enjoying it with a partner and being able to be exactly who you are and doing the things that you love the most without fear of someone humiliating you or making fun of you or telling all your friends, my goodness. So I'm very, very happy for you, and it sounds like you've got some good toys there. It was a little unclear whether you're doing pegging already and these other toys that you mentioned about the remote control butt plug and the Aneros are the introductory ones and you haven't done the pegging yet, or that you're already doing it and these are just sort of something new, something additional to sort of spice up the whole thing. Because you did say you are working to achieve the elusive prostate orgasm, but you know, that can be done with toys, that can be done with fingers, all kinds of different things. It doesn't have to be strap-on pegging stuff, right? So if you have already enjoyed that some time ago, I would be happy to play the music for you just because you found your way through bad experiences with women who did not have integrity and did not hold that information sacred about pegging. And you had the courage to keep looking for a woman who understood you, despite the manly man exterior. So I'd be happy to play the music for you. Or if this pegging thing is something that's coming in the near future, then please do tell the story when it happens and I'll play the music for you. Be happy to do that. Thank you for sharing all of that with us. That was an awesome thing to read. Okay, this next thing is just a snippet of a comment that was left on a picture that I have on FetLife of me. And I'm actually holding this big, long, toxic, flesh-colored dildo, which someone gave me. And I looked at it and smelled it and took a photo. It was a photo shoot type of toy, right? And then threw it away because there was no way I was going to use it because it was gross. So the comment that was left on this photo implied that someone who could take something like that was a talented person with a lot of time. And there are receivers who naturally and easily can take larger toys. I wouldn't call them particularly talented, and sometimes they don't need a lot of time. They just are who they are in the world of toy-taking asses, so to speak. And partly I wanted to read this. Well, that's not true. Mostly I wanted to read this because there's this sort of underlying competition thing that receivers do, and it harkens back to something that I read a long time ago in a book talking about communication agendas and how they differ between male and female. And I know we're sinking back into a binary here, but in general, men do have a competitive thing. They compete and they establish a hierarchy. Whereas women's agenda, when they communicate with each other, is to understand each other and draw closer. So it is no surprise to me that there's a bit of a competition thing that receivers do about taking larger toys sometimes. I mean, if they're taking it for their mistress in like a dominant submissive sense, awesome. But taking a larger toy does not grant you any superiority over smaller toy takers, okay? All you receivers out there rock. All you prostate owners are equal. There is none of this, I can take a 3-inch diameter toy, so I am the king. Well, we do kiddingly call you size kings, and it is actually a title that one has to work for, because most of the time it takes a long time to open up enough to take a larger toy. But that's such a personal decision. There are also a lot of receivers out there who never graduate from that first small toy because it sends them to the freaking moon. And that's really all they want. And that's fine, too. It's all okay. All you receivers out there, you do you. No competition. Okay. Here's another letter. As a hedonistic male with a dominant personality, I often seek pleasure from unusual sources. I would like to know how I can locate a, quote, Peggy, end quote, in my area, or get directions to any place that may be doing pegging classes in a sort of classroom manner. So this is the question I get all the time. You guys know this, but it was written really interestingly with interesting words. So I thought I'd read it again and answer the question again. And I get so many of these from so many different social platforms that I'm pretty sure I'm going to do a recorded message for the guys who asked this, and I'm just going to give them the link. You know, like my podcast number 112. This is going to be for the guys that say, where can I find a woman to peg me? So here's the deal. First, there's the differentiation. The differentiation is in regards to, are you just looking for a woman to fuck you? Or are you looking for a relationship with a woman who will fuck you? These are two very different things. If you're looking just for the experience, then go find a pro. How do you go find a pro? I'm not telling you to do anything illegal because I wouldn't do that on my podcast. But if you are looking for a pro, most people who do this go to Google and put in the name of their city and the word escort and look from there. Okay. If you are not looking for just the experience and you're interested in finding a relationship of any sort, whether it's friends with benefits or polyamorous or non-monogamous or what have you, but something more than just the experience, then look for women where you normally look for women, and then lay your kink cards out on the table really quickly. This is how you do it. There's no magic place where there's all kinds of women waiting in a pegging party to gangbang your butt. There is no magic formula I have to give you that if you write an ad in this manner, you'll get overwhelmed with responses or even get one single response to your ad of a woman wanting to fuck a complete stranger, okay? None of my classes have live demos. I never need a demo bottom. I never teach people how to do pegging while they're actually pegging. I never teach people how to do pegging by doing pegging myself in front of other people. These are all things I don't offer. I'm an educator, okay? A sex educator. I don't do live demos. So this last part where you say getting directions to any place that might be doing pegging classes in a sort of classroom manner, what I'm assuming is that you're picturing a bunch of different couples and somebody sort of going around and telling you what you're doing right and what you're doing wrong. Yeah, I don't know anybody who does that. There might be somebody in the United States who does it. There might be somebody in Europe who does it, but I don't know. So there are no places to send you. The only successful pegging parties that I know of are in Houston, Texas, and you need to be vetted for those parties. You can't just drop in. So I suppose after all this time, I'm a little puzzled that the word hasn't gotten out that there is no magic place where women who love pegging hang out. Why is there no magic place where women who love pegging hang out? Because women who love pegging are pretty much, if they put it on their profile on whatever social platform they're on, get besieged by the men. Because there's kind of a thing of entitlement, sort of, hey, you know, you like pegging, I like pegging, so let's do pegging. You know, it's not like fucking bowling, guys. It's not. It's intimate. It's sex. And, you know, you're not going to walk up to a woman sitting at a bar going, hey, I like sex, you like sex, let's have sex. Because we're strangers, right? So putting an ad up on a social platform is ridiculous because you don't have sex with strangers. And if you really do want to be having sex with strangers, I would caution you that the people that you're attracting might be a little dangerous or scary or maybe not good at safe sex. I think that there's people out there who are really, really sexually active who absolutely follow all the rules for safe sex, and maybe they do the swipe right, swipe left thing and just meet up and fuck somebody. But meeting up and fucking somebody or meeting up and having oral sex is different than pegging. If you do pegging, you really want to make sure the person knows what they're doing because it could be a very bad experience if you don't. So I get a little ranty here because I've been asked this so many times. So that's the answer. Either go find a pro or look for a woman in the places you normally look for a woman. And in the first couple of dates, before you are sexually intimate with this woman, lay your kink cards out on the table. When you do not have anything invested yet, be very honest and say, this is something I'm really interested in. How about you? And I'm not saying we need to do it right away, but I just want to know if this is something that might interest you. And if she freaks out, then, hey, dodged bullet, right? This is not the right person for you. So don't worry about scaring them away if you're honest with them. You want to scare them away if they're not the right person for you. Yes, clearly I need to do a podcast on this, a special one for the guys who are always asking me, where can I find a woman to do this with? Because you can hear it in my voice. I just started to say that like whiny, because it is kind of whiny. And I'm kind of ranting here, so I need you to just take a chill pill, record that podcast, have it be nice and diplomatic and friendly and kind, because I know y'all out there are just wanting to experience something awesome. And you're craving it and you're desiring it and you're just asking for a little help. So yes. All right, there you go. Rant over. Here's something I have to read you that was very sweet. It's a thank you message I got from someone who attended my webinar. Dear Ruby, I had to cut out a little early at the end of your online webinar this past Saturday, but I just wanted to drop you a belated note to say thank you. I wasn't sure what exactly I was expecting, but your presentation was professional, educational, thorough, and very well done. I may decide to sign up for and watch it again in the future, on a weekend when I'm not quite so busy, so I can catch the whole thing and not have to rush out the door. I was only vaguely curious about pegging prior to watching your webinar. Now I feel much more prepared to go down that path if and when I decide to. I feel it's only a matter of time since this kink is so prevalent among men. Best regards, Bonnie. Bonnie, that was the coolest thing to receive, and you know, I do want to reiterate that it does seem like the webinars are pulling in a fair amount of givers. It's not unusual to have the majority of people attending the webinar to be givers, which is really, really exciting to me. You givers out there want to get some skills. Okay, so let's see here. Here's a comment that was written on my post, Reassurance. Why is role reversal and reverse fucking becoming a big thing nowadays? Okay, that's an interesting thing. Well, it's not only the role reversal inherent in the act that attracts many. It's like straight up prostate pleasure. It could also be letting go of or having more control. It could also be sexual exploration. It could also be orgasms. So I responded, and then this person wrote back, but what is the reason that more and more men are wanting to get fucked nowadays? I mean, men are the ones that have penises. They are naturally made to fuck rather than getting fucked. More and more straight men are wanting to get fucked by ladies. What is the reason for this kind of trend lately? How has that become a turn-on for men? I am myself a male who gets fucked by a lady. My lady disallows me from using my penis to carry out intercourse with her. Rather, she is the one who has the right to fuck me. But the desire to be a receiver, the desire to be feminine rather than masculine, the desire to be the weaker one, or more aptly, weak and meek, the desire to be called weak and meek, the desire to be submissive, to be called pretty, to be touched in ways women like to be touched and feel aroused by that, all this, despite being straight, is something I myself cannot explain. So this is a really interesting expression of consternation about why this is all happening in a larger sense, and then some lovely personal things that you've shared with us. So your first question about more and more straight men are wanting to get fucked by ladies, what is the reason for this kind of trend lately? Well, I think the first and foremost reason that more men are wanting to get fucked is because it feels good. Prostate stimulation simply feels good. Because you say, how has that become a turn-on for men? Well, if you discover that you have pleasure in your ass and that there's a spot in there that when stimulated just sends you to the moon with pleasure and makes your orgasms 10 times more powerful than anyone you've ever had, well, that's kind of hard to turn and walk away from. There is a comparison you made here about men are the ones that have the penis. Well, sure, but there's sex toys too. I mean, people don't vibrate naturally, but that doesn't mean we don't use vibrators and sexually excite ourselves. Sex toys are awesome. So it's not like, well, that toy is roughly penis-shaped and you're fucking him, so you don't have a penis, so, you know, why is that happening? Because it's not natural. I have heard this argument natural before. In fact, one woman wrote that men and women should just have sex together and there shouldn't be any kind of rubber things involved. And of course, I corrected this woman and said, yeah, honey, it's not rubber, it's silicone, because you're buying bad toys if you've got rubber, right? But her point is it's not natural. And I do believe that she brought God in there somewhere and said it's not God's intention, you know, sex toys are not good. I really, really disagree with that, like a lot, vehemently. Sex toys are awesome. Long as it's consensual and no one's getting hurt, then sex toys are totally, totally awesome. And why wouldn't you use them if they can give you amazing amounts of pleasure? Why would you deny yourself that pleasure? So moving on to some other things that you wrote about the desire to be feminine rather than masculine and all of those lovely things. This is my own personal opinion. It could be a bunch of crap and you could throw it away if it doesn't fit. However, here's what I think. I think that in general, men in our society have been forced into what has been called the man box, which is all of the ways men are supposed to act so that they are accepted by society. And of course, the underlying part of that, the unspoken part, is all the ways they're not supposed to act so that they're respected as manly men. They never appear weak. They don't cry. All of these different things. You can imagine it, and you could probably make a list right off the top of your head of the expectations that are made of men in our society. So, along comes pegging. Along comes something that allows men to receive rather than always having to be in charge and in control and running the fuck. And on the face of it, you can just talk about that part, but it has overlaps into a much bigger area. Men needing to stay in the man box also requires them to be in complete control in the rest of their lives, not just in the bedroom, but in their lives. Always be in control. Be a manly man, be masculine, don't ever appear weak, and don't ever appear vulnerable. And unfortunately, weakness is conflated with vulnerability, as I've said many times before. So they find a sexual act that can allow them to receive, that they don't have to be in control, and that they can, whoa, be vulnerable. They can actually be vulnerable. I think that because of all of that happening, that there's a bit of a swing of the pendulum. Men have been in the box for so long that when they find this, when they find this possibility, they start fantasizing about how cool it would be to do that. And then a lot of times they find me, they come to me, they ask how they can talk to their partner. You know, you get the whole concept. But the point is, they're so into it and the trend is happening, I believe, in reaction to being in the fucking man box for so long. And this is just me flapping my gums, but it sort of seems reasonable to me. You know, you finally find something where you can be all those things you've been forbidden to be, and you can be more of a whole person. Why wouldn't you want it? And that's above and beyond all of the pleasure and everything. So good for you for finding something that works with you and your lady, and congratulations that you've been able to embrace the femininity, to be called pretty, to be touched in ways that women like to be touched and feel aroused by that. This is awesome, and I applaud you for it, sir. Thank you for sharing that with us. Let's see. Oh, in case you're interested, I wanted to let you know that I did post an article on my blog. These days, I don't have too many articles that I put on my blog. It's mostly just posting my podcast, but sometimes I write a few. And this one is an article about my feelings regarding there being a large age gap within relationships. This is something I've taken a deep dive into, being a woman who loves younger men, playing with them and doing BDSM-y things with them and pegging them and all these lovely things. And in all my travels on all my social platforms, I've encountered a lot of similar reactions when people are talking about relationships with age gaps. So I decided to just all put it all down into an article for y'all. I'll put a link to it in the Linkorama for your convenience, and I hope you enjoy it if it's something that interests you. All right. The last thing I want to tell you is just about the upcoming webinars. I have one this Friday, October 12th at 6 p.m., and I have one Sunday, October 21st at 10 in the morning. The things I do for you people, getting up at 10 in the morning to teach, and actually it's not 10 in the morning, it's more like 8:30. Takes me in about an hour to set it up, half an hour to look pretty. But I love, love, love teaching, so it's not a burden. It is kind of early for me, though, but not since I've been going to the gym so much, which I still am doing, but not as much early. So, anyway, those two webinars are coming up. And when you do sign up for a webinar, please know that it's a solid 2 hours of information. I have so much information to give you that, yeah, I can squeeze it into 2 hours. So plan for that, please. You will be there for 2 hours if you want to stay until the very last. I want each and every one of you, every single one of you listening, to make sure you're registered to vote, to get your asses out there and vote, and let your voice be heard. We're fortunate enough to live in a country where this is actually something we get to do, and that is not what happens in many other countries. So use your voice. Don't ever sit back and go, yeah, it doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference because there's so many people that sit back and say it doesn't make any difference. Get out there and fucking vote. All right. You can find my work at peggingparadise.com, where I have my blog, my podcast, my erotica, and the forum. Or pegging101.com, which has informational pegging articles only and no kink. My podcasts are available through a variety of podcast downloader apps. You can find a sampling of those under the tab Follow on my website. You can also stream my podcast directly from my website if you like. The Follow tab has links for you to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, and check out my Facebook page. If you order some sexy new toys from enticeme.com, remember to use that coupon code RIDER for 15% off of your purchase. Send your questions to Ruby at peggingparadise.com. No question is too quirky, too quiescent, or too quick. Many listeners are going to learn along with you, so don't be shy. Throw those questions in my mailbox or call me at 805-500-6544. Thank you for downloading and listening, everybody. You rock. Happy pegging.